This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back, 7 after 11, the Thursday edition of Power Perspective with me, Murio Sanyane, your ultimate Knoxman, standing in for Thabiso Tshovetso-Kotane. He'll be back with you on Monday. He's just down with flu, so I'm holding fort. And of course, we come to the pretty much last section of the program. I'll be joined on the line by Mr. Zain Pulbulia. You know, I'm struggling with this pronunciation, so Zain will assist me in terms of the proper pronunciation. Director, Disability Directorate in the Office of the Premier of Gauteng. And I'm also being joined by Mr. Saul Mulubi. Gentlemen, good evening to you. Welcome to Power Perspective.
Good evening.
Good evening, Maria. And good evening to the listeners also.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zain, how do I pronounce your name? I don't want to butcher it anymore.
No, it's Bulbulia. It's quite simple. Two bulls and Bulbulia.
Bulbulia. Okay, I got it now.
Yeah.
Mr. Saul Mulubi, you know, matters of people living with disability, I'm not particularly sure if we have positioned them in the national agenda in a way that is proper and fit. And I'm posing this question because I just came out of a very interesting workshop on the relevance of statistics, you know, coming from the former statistician general, Dr. Paddy Lehotla. And to say, in whatever thing that you plan, if you want to get it right, get the figures right, understand what the figures say, and it makes your planning slightly better. So, Mr. Mulubi, in terms of issues and matters that challenges people with disability, are we certain that we have the correct data in terms of stats to enable government, civil society groups to can deal with whatever challenges that they might be facing?
Okay. Even though Zain may chip in there, but the statistics are there, and they are even provided per province. But the general one is that we have 7.5% people of our population being disabled, and our population is now, with the last census, was between 54 and 56 million. Yes, they are such people. And perhaps maybe I must start by saying something very positive. Is that last week I went onto the EIC website and I applied for a special vote because with my disability, I may not be able to stand in log queues for a very long time. Now, the good news is that my application was approved within 2 seconds. And as such, on Monday or Tuesday, IEC officials and party representatives will be coming to my house and I'll be casting my vote from the comfort of my home.
Ah, fantastic.
This is one good thing. I remember I even encouraged other disabled people and people who are related to anyone who's disabled that they need to apply for the same benefit for their relatives. And by the way, I also applied for my mother, who is 90 years old, for this special vote. And she's in a village in Amanskraal. And I got an SMS confirming that indeed, either on the 6th or the 7th, IEC officials will go to my mother's house in a village in Amanskraal to allow her to cast a vote. So this is one of the positive things that that the post 94 government has delivered to us people who are living with disabilities.
Yeah, indeed. Mr. Zain Bulbulia, I think this is one fantastic news. And I think probably the IEC has gone on to this massive drive as well to inform people in terms of the special votes. But I'm just wondering, for people, for instance, who might not have access to technology, is there any provision in terms of them to apply for special votes, particularly people living with the disability?
Yes, indeed. What they've done is lots of the organizations where people belong to, whether it's Blind SA or Deaf SA, those organizations would apply on their behalf for special votes. Like Saul has said, I've also applied for my special vote and got my SMS. So we'll be casting our vote from the comfort of our homes. Just getting back to the stats on disabilities. It's true what Saul is saying. We're sitting in the 7% almost, going on to 8%. But I can give you the stats of Gauteng. Sedibeng has the highest population of people with disabilities, sitting at 7.6, then followed by Westland of 6.8, Ekurhuleni 5.5, 25.2, and then Joburg 4.6. So our total population in Gauteng only is sitting around 5.3% of people with disabilities. Now, that's only taking the population of Gauteng. And we are one of the smallest contributors to people with disabilities in terms of the percentage wise. But also, you know, Sedibeng and Westland is quite huge, obviously, because of the situation of lots of them working on the mines and getting injured on the mines, and that's how they become disabled. So Sedibeng and Westland. Then also we have the migration of people coming from provinces into Gauteng, thinking that it's a province of gold and the province where you're going to just get employment. So not only that we've got migrants coming from all over, but we get migrants with disabilities that's also coming into our province.
So, Mr. Zain, but in terms of these statistics that you have, from the provincial, from the Gauteng provincial government perspective, are they being utilized in terms of intervention programs? I mean, we do know that within a South African context, when coming to issues like public transport, it is a challenge to everybody, including, you know, the able-bodied people. So, you know, one wonders that if an able-bodied person can struggle when coming to public transport and even access to public facilities and stuff, what about a person who's living with disabilities? So the stats that you have, are you utilizing as part, you know, to come up with the mechanism to deal with the challenges for them?
Most definitely, these stats are most useful. And in terms of our service delivery, it then points down in terms of what we need to deliver. If you're looking at the healthcare, where is it mostly concentrated? And I've just been visiting hospitals in the past week, looking at the long queues and seeing that people with disabilities are prioritized with older persons to get the medication up front. Queue marshals are assisting. In terms of transport, I mean, we've got the Tshwane, we've got the Rea Vaya. We still have quite a bit of problems in terms of the docking stations of the buses coming, and it's not too accessible. But if you look at Tshwane and Ekurhuleni, they've got the low-kneeling buses, which makes it much easier for physical disabled people with wheelchairs to get in and off the buses. But transport is definitely a huge issue around accessibility for people with disabilities. We definitely need to look at it more clearly and define how do we operate with it. The taxi operators are quite hard on this. So if they find a wheelchair user, they wouldn't just want to stop, or if they do stop, they charge an extra fee for the person's wheelchair. So, you know, these are the things that we need to sensitize taxi operators and try and get their buy-in in on it. And the main thing, you know, for a disabled person, if you don't have transport, you're not going to get to a job. you're not going to get your equal rights. And that's what, one of the things that we need to fight for. As South Africa, we signed the UN Convention in 2007, the Convention on the Rights of People with Disabilities. And that's an international tool. So, you know, I urge all disabled people to make use of it so they could write to the UN and report against the non-deliverables of South Africa. But also our constitution is so vast that we can go to the Human Rights Commission and also lay claims in terms of that. South Africa will be signing the AU Protocol on Disability soon. Our president has asked the Minister Shabangu to sign this, and I think she'll be signing it on Monday, which also allows us to engage with our African counterparts and our brothers up in Africa, brothers and sisters with disabilities in Africa, to surely to provide them with certain needs and assistive devices. And, you know, the protocol has lots of articles in there which we could assist them in making lives much easier. The thing around disability, we need to hold the country accountable. Mm-hmm. We all equal citizens. And we need our real rights to be adhered to.
In fact, sorry, Zain, let me just add something interesting. The statistics coming from Stats SA, they are saying that, in fact, there are more women than men when you look at the statistics of disabled people. They are saying 8.3% of women in South Africa are disabled, and then 6.5% of men in South Africa are disabled. And there's another interesting statistics where they say amongst the children aged below 5, there's a prevalence of disability with regards to which affects their sight, their sense of sight. And this could be worrying, as because they are saying it's 4.2% of all our children who are aged less than 5 are already having eyesight problem.
Agreed with that, Saul, and to the listeners. What we've done, which is very interesting in Gauteng, and the other provinces need to catch up, and as well as national, we started a program called ECI, Early Childhood Identification on Disability. So we're going to track disability, and we started doing, we're piloting at Charlotte Penklenkwa as well as Baragwanath Hospital, and we're working with the various universities like Pretoria and Wits and the OTs and physios, is to track at birth whether the kid has a disability. So from 0 to 3 months, 3 to 6, and going up to the time when the kid goes to school. So we then already tag the first the kid and note it in terms of if the child is born blind, what assistive devices do we require as the child goes up. So by the time the child gets into school, we already got the assistive device, and it doesn't lay between social development and health to assist. And this is a huge program which we embarking on. The other thing is about breastfeeding. You know, breastfeeding kids at an early age and from north right up to a year really helps in terms of the nutrition. What we do find with our study around this is that we have young parents, and obviously from partying and going out over the weekend, and the kid could be probably 3 months, 4 months, and here comes the husband or the boyfriend, and he just pulls the kid by the limbs, and we find lots of fractures, lots of bones being broken, and that disables the kid from a very young age. So we're going through this process of training and teaching children and parents with various types of identifying disabilities. One of the biggest things that we find is that a couple would probably give birth to a child with albinism. And then they say, so this is not my child. whose child is it? And if you go back in history or back and we track down that maybe their forefathers were had albinism in it. And this is where, you know, we have to educate both the parents to say it is in the family history. And how do you then look after this kid with albinism?
Yes.
In Gauteng, again, we've got the priority back for people with albinism. They get special creams, they got hats, sun hats, vitamin D and various other stuff. So these are all tracked. So if they go into a clinic, they already get in their priority pack immediately.
Okay.
So in Gauteng, we're really moving forward in terms of disability and we're placing it quite high. In terms of employment, we're the only province that employs over the 2% of people in the public arena.
Mm-hmm.
National hasn't even reached the 2%. Other provinces haven't even come close to it. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting already with our 3%. And we're aiming by end of 2020 to have 5%. By the end of 2030, we're hoping to have 10% of people with disabilities employed within government. But through the BBB, it's stated that 2% of people with disabilities needs to be employed. And this is where corporate is not playing its role. They rather pay the fine or they rather put people on learnerships or internships and pay that and not employ people.
Yeah.
And this is what we need to track. And this is the awareness that we need to drive so that we get equal rights and taking people off the ground. Give them jobs. Give them proper jobs. Don't let them become 10 entrepreneurs in terms of going through learnerships. I know people that have been on 5 and 6 learnerships and not given the proper opportunity to get employment. So it's a huge drive.
You know, when we talk about children born with disabilities, part of our awareness campaign should be able to say to our people that when you are blessed with a disabled child, that shouldn't be seen as a curse, because that's the one area that we are focusing on, to say to our people, yes, the child is disabled, but then we have to look at opportunities for this child. For instance, taking them regularly to the clinic. We have had cases where a disabled child, especially in rural areas, will be hidden from the public. And it will just be a rumor that in so-and-so's house, there's a child who is disabled, and that child won't be given the opportunity to be integrated into the community.
Mm.
So this program and many other mass mobilization campaigns will help to destroy this myth that being disabled means you are cursed or your parents are cursed.
Yeah. Okay, 25 minutes after the hour 11, my special guest on the line, Mr. Saul Mulubi, former Consul General of South Africa to Milan. And I also have Mr. Zain Bulbelia, Director, Disability Directorate in the Office of Premier of Gauteng. Disability Focus, government programs for the disabled, we're scrutinizing it. And of course, if you want to weigh in into our discussion, if you have got questions, feel free to give us a call on the power line, 0861-987-000. Zain, if I can come back to you very briefly. You know, you mentioned something that Gauteng province has made progress in terms of employment rate. Okay, you've gone to 3%, and by 2020, I think you want to move it to 5%. But if you look at other provinces, it seems as if the figure is stagnant, probably at 1% or 0.1 or whatever. Have you know, from a government perspective, are there any reasons why there is slow progress in other provinces, or you don't have those?
No, I do, and we sit with other provinces to try and assist them. First of all, you need to get the proper buy-in from the political principle.
Okay.
Hold the political principle accountable in terms of the performance, the job performance, hold the HODs, hold the senior managers accountable in terms of employment of people with disabilities. And if you don't have that on the job performance, nobody's going to worry about it. Here in Gauteng, we made sure that it's on every senior manager's job performance, that they need to ensure that people with disabilities are employed and have a pool of disabled people. So forming partnerships with organizations of people with disabilities then opens up the pool. Having direct links with the university so we can get graduates out of universities that would then fall indirectly into government's working scheme, although that, you know, the corporates would get, snatch them up, especially in the commerce area of BCom and lawyers and various others. But, you know, we need to attract people with disabilities within government. Again, we have that amount of the percentage on 3%, but it's not at mostly at the senior level percentage. A lot of them are below the senior manager, so middle management, and also just entry levels. But we're striving towards getting people with disabilities into senior management position as directors, chief directors, HODs, and various others. And if you have a committed political principle and the will behind it, you will see the difference.
It takes a political will. And I mean, the issues of disability are extremely important. I mean, the fact that we even created a ministry, but the, you know, I think sometimes we just do things for the sake of doing them. But if there isn't, like you rightfully say, this commitment, this political will, then some of the issues are not going to move. Let's go to the lines. I've got a number of callers on the line. Let's go to Mpho in Montana. Mpho, good evening. Welcome.
Good evening, and good evening to your guests.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm a person living with disabilities. Ne? I had a brain tumor, then I partially lost my sight on one eye. So I need to ask a question. I left my employer. I used to work for government. I left at 57. I resigned because it was difficult for me to travel. I couldn't drive. So I had to get somebody to drive me. And when he's not around, then I have to take a bus. So it was very difficult. But then SARS, because I resigned, SARS deducted, penalized me something like 600,000. So I need to ask, can I apply for the disability grant? Because I've been discriminated already. I mean, if you lose 600,000, which I could have lived on for a very long time.
Yes. So, in short, I don't know when you've resigned, but I know they've taken that money away because of your resignation. You can apply through SASAS in terms of your disability grant, but they're going to do a means test.
No problem.
And yes, you qualify as a person with a disability to obtain a grant.
Okay.
Yeah. In fact, even though it's already late because you have resigned, I was to say instead of resigning, you should be given medical retirement. That was also going to save you from paying a lot of money to SARS.
To SARS.
I think your HR failed you because they were supposed to go for an option of medical retirement as opposed to advising you to resign from your job.
I agree with Saul. And in the past year, what government has come up with now is called a reasonable accommodation policy. So if you were still in the employment of the department or whichever government department, there is a thing of reasonable accommodation. So seeing where you live, they could probably assist you with transport, but make things much easier so that you get to work.
This is
what we make use of.
Yeah. No, that there was a serious disagreement with people living with disabilities in my department.
Yeah.
They could not agree to fetch them because we are staying in different parts of the city.
Mm.
It was difficult. But in terms of assistive device, I was fine at work because I had a magnified computer to work on.
Mm. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. It's important.
But, you know, if we knew about it and if you knew about us, we could probably definitely assist you and make your things much smoother.
So, Zane, tell me, there is completely no legal recourse. I mean, the fact that HR didn't give Mpo what we can call proper advice, isn't there any legal recourse?
Yes, there is. What she could then go to is the Human Rights Commission and open a case for them, and they could have a relook at it and then probably go back to SARS and have an open discussion and see how they could resolve this in certain ways. They could, yes.
Yeah. So it's important. I think that is the best advice, my sister. Go to the Human Rights Commission.
Yeah, and we have an Office of Human Rights in Pretoria.
The Human Rights Commission is based in Braamfontein. And if you call them, they would assist you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I might just give you look for the numbers, give them a call, and then, yeah.
Yeah, no, okay. I'll try and get the number, yes.
Yeah, thank you very much, Asimpo. The best of luck.
Maybe in Pretoria, you could also approach the Legal Resources Center because they provide legal advice for free.
Yeah. Where's the Legal Resources Center, the university?
It's somewhere in Pretoria. I don't know exactly where they are, but I know they have an office in Pretoria. Yeah.
Okay.
No, maybe ask someone to help you. You just Google them. You should be able to.
Yeah, I'll try and Google them,
Yeah.
Okay.
But just a quick advice. The University of Pretoria set up a disability directorate within the university in the law faculty, and they would be able to assist you quite easily as well.
Yeah, no, I'll go there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Asimpo. And the number, maybe it's 011-877-3600.
I'm trying to capture it on my other phone.
Okay, you know what? I'll put you on hold, and then Mutsaibu will give it to you.
Okay, thank you.
Just hold on there for us, Asimpo. Let's go to Shumani in Janssen Park. Let me see. What's happened with my...
Hi,
Shumani. Good evening.
How
welcome.
Good evening, Shumani.
Hey, Zaid.
How are you, Shumani?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you.
Okay. Can I speak now?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to commend Mr. Zain for the wonderful work that he's doing. I've had the opportunity and pleasure to serve under his leadership, and I must say, you're just amazing. And I know it's very difficult to serve, you know, within this sector, but I need to encourage you to say, please do not give up, because the sector really needs you. And we really commend the work that you're doing. We see it's very hard, but we appreciate that you do not give up. You fall and get up again and again and again, because you know why you do what you do. And we see what you're doing, and we're saying thank you so much, and keep on doing what you're doing. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Shumani. Thank you for your kind words.
You're welcome.
Well, indeed. Shumani there from Janssen Park. We thank you so much for the call. We've got also from Pretoria. Hi, Daniel. Good evening. Welcome. Fine. How are you, sir?
How are you, Mr. Mrio?
I'm fine, Daniel.
I'm fine, man. I want to ask Mr. Bull Zane.
Yes.
Zane, just call him Zane. Bulbulia.
Bulbulia.
Yeah, just call him Zane. It's fine. It's okay.
I'm calling from Mabopane Mrione.
Oh, okay. My homeboy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, I am blind.
Okay.
So I want to ask Zane about their policy on artists with disabilities. Because I know maybe, because I'm originally from Limpopo.
Okay.
Like in Limpopo provincial government, I know the guy there by the name of Selalo Makgatho, who is also blind, the state director, he's doing the similar work with the province. Though there's a policy that says each and every function that is has to take place from government, there must be certain percentage of artists with disabilities that must perform there. So I don't know about Gauteng, because in Gauteng, Papa, we are struggling.
Mm.
I've got a live band. That band, I can tell you, from January to December, they do not get any invitation anywhere. Mm. Social development is the only department that was utilizing our service some years ago, but they were also using us for free. They were not paying us.
Oh,
so
no.
I want to ask about their policy on artistic disability.
Okay, in terms of artists with disability, whether you're a musician or whatever art, we do not have a direct policy to say 2% of people with disabilities must perform in artists. We mainstream artists with disabilities. So through the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, if you register there and any event that comes within government, we will definitely call you. We use quite a bit of like Babsi or Prastiv Kikana and various other talented musicians and artists. And we then also look at the schools. Lots of the schools that have like Philadelphia, the choirs and things like that. We ensure that these young people get the opportunity to perform. And if you make contact with my office, and I'll leave a number later on, we'll definitely ensure that and see that you get focus and showcase. The other thing is on disability, we mustn't look at it in the social arena, because then we're looking at disability being a social welfare issue, and we mainstreaming disability in Gauteng. So the whole thing about it has to go to social development, no, that's not the focus of Gauteng.
Mm, okay. Dan, are you okay?
In fact, the other benefit, especially for those disabled people who want to go into business, the broad-based black economic empowerment designates women, designates black people in general, and it also designates people living with disabilities as sectors that have to benefit from any government procurement. For instance, if you have a disabled person as your shareholder, already you will be accumulating a few more points than a company that you will be competing with and they don't have any disabled person as a shareholder. So it's not just about black economic empowerment or women economic empowerment. It is also about empowerment of disabled people. In fact, there is this organization, CASA, which is for disabled people. Mm. They are now compiling a list of all businesses that are owned by disabled people, and they hope to advocate for these businesses to be given opportunities to supply services, not only to government, but also to the private sector in general.
Okay. Dan, you're still there, Daniel. Just hold on a bit, Zane.
Yes, I'm still there.
Yeah, okay. Before we let you go, Daniel, Zane, I just want to find out, in terms of a database, because as much as we don't want to create a culture of disabled people, let's say like Daniel from the creative arts space,
yes,
to say that we don't want to create a culture of saying they must just go via the social development route. But obviously, competing with able-bodied people, they are at somehow disadvantaged, somehow. So I just want to find out if there is some kind of a mechanism where, for instance, people with disabilities in the creative arts or whatever space are within a database, because
yes,
there has to be some form of a transformation. For instance, Mr. Saul spoke about the BEE quotas, where at times they will say we need a percentage of people living with disability and so on and so forth. Even within the creative arts, for instance, then you will know that we have Daniel from Pretoria, they are performing musicians and whatever. If we have functions, as much as we might want a trompis or we might want whoever, then we got to balance it out with people living with disabilities, because they have to make, a living
sure.
too. Is there such sure. a database?
So the database that we set up, and it's run by Babsi and Steve Kikana and various others. It's called the South African Disabled Musician and Artist, SADMA. That's the umbrella body that people belong to. And SADMA is then registered with the Department of Arts and Culture, as well as all within the provinces. So there is an umbrella body that would advocate and push for the rights of musicians with disabilities.
But like now, say, Zane, but open, now, Zane, open. Sorry, yes. Zane,
no,
now...
Can I get you there?
I just want to ask one more question.
Okay.
And then you can come in afterwards. Zane, okay. In terms of, you know, the power of bigger brands, okay, we speak about this umbrella body, but if it is championed by what we can call big brands or people with a high profile, so how do we ensure that work is equally distributed to people?
Yeah.
I'm not casting aspersions, but I'm just saying that if you have people with these strong personalities and the bigger brands and so on, and you've got Daniel from Mabopane, Township, very far from here, how do we ensure that they also participate within this particular project?
Okay. So within Gauteng, what we've developed is called the Township Enterprises. As Saul spoke about the triple BE, in Gauteng, we've included the Township Enterprise. So definitely with him coming out of Mabopane, which is a township, has given him the elevation in terms of his group to be looked at first in terms of performing an artist. But like I said, we need to sit down and formalize this entire creative artist in Gauteng to ensure that we bring the people out of the township so that they get profiled higher as well.
Okay, let me give Dan a chance before we go to Raymond there. Dan, final comment?
I just want to talk about, because I heard him speaking about Brastis and Babsi Mlangeni. As sometime last year, I think, I met with Babsi Mlangeni, with my group. And as you say, those big brands, sometimes they won't give you the full information and all those things. Because we met that guy, Babsi Mlangeni, but he never mentioned to us that SADMA and whatever story. So now I think from their office, they must have what you are saying, Mr. Murehor. If they have any function, let me say, even if they can say 1% of artists with disabilities, they must be there. Could they must be something like that, according to my understanding, or maybe I don't know.
Okay, Daniel, you listen up. Zane is going to leave out his contact numbers, and we'll continue the discussions beyond this interview, okay?
Okay,
right. Thank you very much, Dan. Let's go to Raymond in Don Park. Raymond, good evening to you. Welcome.
Yes, Maria, how are you?
Fine, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm not okay. You're speaking to Raymond here from Villa Lisa.
Yes, Ray, can you speak a bit louder so that my guests can hear you? Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes, that's better. Thank you.
Okay, I'm calling you from the hospital bed right now. I'm just in the hospital. I'm sleeping in hospital right now on my hospital bed. I'm listening to you through my radio, my personal radio. So, okay. The thing is, I'm disabled. I'm suffering from emphysema, and I'm wheelchair bound, and I'm on oxygen, total oxygen, 24 hours. So now, currently, I'm a student at the college. I'm doing my graduate diploma in psychology. This is my second year, and I'm really battling now right now to cover up my cost, to pay for my cost, because I'm using my social grants also to help me to pay up for my studies. And it's my final year. I should be graduating next year. So I want to get employment, and whenever I can be able now to pay up for my fees and to get employment, how can I help you do that?
So, yeah, sure. What we do in Gauteng, we have the a bursary scheme for learners with disabilities, especially going into tertiary education. And obviously we would then fund, and depending which area you live in and things like that, and we will look at your results, and we would then facilitate so that you get the bursary, full bursary in terms of your education. But also we work with NSFAS to see how they could accommodate in terms of assistance as well. When it comes to education. like you say, you're using oxygen 24/7. We would then also get the various hospitals on board or the clinics so that your oxygen tank is filled all the time, and that particular assistive device, and I would call it assistive device because it's helping you breathe, be maintained and be with you all the time. And I'm not sure if you walk in with your emphysema or you're using a wheelchair. So, you could leave your numbers with us, or I'm going to leave my numbers later on, and we would get the relevant departments to chat to you.
Okay. Thank you very much, Raymond, from Dunpark.
Just to add, Mario.
Yes, sir.
The Quad Para Association of South Africa has regional offices across the country, and they also run a number of training programs which are even accredited by institutions such as Microsoft. They do computer training for people with disabilities, and the training is free, and they also accommodate people in Pretoria for free. Perhaps those who are not necessarily interested in pursuing their studies through a university, they just want to do a short course that can allow them to get a job as a receptionist. Mm. Then they need to get in touch with the Quad Para Association of South Africa.
Okay. Let's go to the calls because we're about to wrap up our program. Mdeni in the Dobsonville. I'm Mdeni. Good evening. Welcome.
Legay pa.
Re legay.
Re tempo. Oh, kile ka thola accident ka 2001 pa.
Okay.
So road accident fund the Metro Police Station ka fihle. Ba ba di dipuri tsenga ta hore ne re ne re
ne.
And ele hore re sala. So anganya patala tshitshile. Ke tsa lela shi pule effective interaction. Yeka admin mo moria pae. So ke kwetse ka January ile re senior HR ile a ra ke setsa course di tse di pampiri tse le re di tsamaisa ka December. Ile ra kula ke go mosebetsi ka fara ke le na ba ba mpatsa le tsare ke ke go tlhoka. A ke boa to print the following week ya ke ya go second HR. Ntambela no pampiri ka wa ke se di tsamaisa ke se di tsamaisa. And na go lela shipu a tsatsola tsatset. Ba go na ke nga la ke tsela.
Yo.
Ba di driver now. Ntse di go par di ba tla ke bone go mosebetsi.
So why are you not going back to work, Mdene? Why sa khotlela mosebetsing?
Gore nka se bui le phone radio ga re.
Okay. Brasol, do you want to just give a brief thing? But I think the most important thing, because there's some information that he can't disclose live on radio, probably you can exchange numbers so that you know you can get the full story. But what is your initial comment on it?
Yeah, in fact, we will share our numbers with him. But also to say that in June, We are going to be focusing on road accident fund, and then we also have a case study of one of the disabled people who benefited from road accident fund as to did they succeed in investing those funds into starting a business. And then we'll also have someone from Road Accident Fund to answer some of the questions that people may be having. I know in the last 3 months we've been receiving queries about Road Accident Fund, the processes, and even lawyers, in fact, abusing the funds that are supposed to benefit people living with disabilities.
Okay, Mdeni, you'll get the numbers so that maybe you can share that confidential information. But there's an upcoming, session that's going to happen pertaining to Road Accident Fund. The best of luck, my friend, okay?
Okay. Can you tell us more radio?
Yeah, they'll say that.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Mdeni. There from Dobsonville, let's go to Mpo in Sunnyside. Mpoza, good evening, welcome.
Good evening, my man, how are you?
Like, how's it, man?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm also an artist. I'm a jazz artist in like a social movie. Why?
Okay.
Yeah. So this thing out of this, when we need to perform and stuff, they don't take us seriously, to tell you the truth. I was studying at the state South African State Theatre, okay. And there was this thing about it, they call it the creative industries. So we'll go there and hold meetings every month, and they'll say, if you are a disabled artist, you must also come forward. We'll give you first preferences and stuff like that. And none of those things existed. And then we went to SATMA. SATMA, it's a company that records people living with disability and stuff. And you know what they do? You go to SATMA Television, you record an album with them, then they give you 10 copies to sell. After those 10 copies, you have to buy copies to them so that you can sell and make money again. You see, and that's how do you buy another copy? They'll tell you, if you want another copy, you need to pay those to 4,000. Your grant is 1.790. So how are you going to get the 4,000 to buy another copy so that you can sell? We recorded with SATMA in 2010. Né? We recorded an album with SATMA. And then I'm telling you, we didn't get the benefit of it. We work with Brajon and Veli. And those are the guys who are the technical, who work with keyboards and stuff at SATMA.
Yeah.
So the those companies, they're not helping. And Motswani, they hold Tswani events. When they hold Tswani events, like a tribute concert, when they say the disabled people are going to perform there, no other upcoming disabled people will perform there. So that's my biggest problem. And I've studied music, but it doesn't benefit me.
So Mpo, tell me very briefly, the Gauteng provincial government hosted, just now recently, they hosted, I think it's a 2-day Creative Arts Summit. Have you participated? Were you aware of that Creative Arts Summit that was hosted by Gauteng?
Yeah, they told us about it, and we went there. To this summit and conference, they call us. And even if you can say you don't have money, they'll call you and say, no, come, we can help you. Then when you get there, they'll say all those nice things. Look, you disabled people, we need to put you first. We need to make sure that you also get to show people that you're not disabled, you are otherwise able, and just show them that you are just as normal as other person. And then you give your all, you practice, you do it, you're expecting that when the gigs come, I have to be ready. When the gig comes, you don't be called. When we see, they say disabled people are also included. You upcoming ones, you are not be called. Only those names who are well known, they call them. So how are we going to develop as young disabled artists? Yeah. We'll never get developed because they don't give us opportunities.
Okay, good questions.
Okay. Can I come in? Ne?
Yes.
Those who listened to this program last month will be familiar with a very young disabled author, Mapule Moloto. And we thought she'll be able to inspire other artists. She published a book, and then she goes around to shopping centers selling a book, and she's even promoting her book through social media. But if we look at government in general, we have the National Arts Council that is always calling for applications for funding. And I know even now they're inviting people to apply for funding. And this artist, irrespective of whether you are disabled or non-disabled, if you have a great concept, they will be able to give you money for you to produce that project. We also have the National Lottery. And in fact, the National Lottery emphasizes the fact that they are giving preference to people living with disabilities. And applications are accepted as we speak for the financial year 2019-2020. Generally, we do have problem. I'm also an artist in a way. I'm a writer, and I'm going to publish my own book through funding that I will either source from the National Arts Council or the National Lottery. But these problems are not necessarily unique to us as disabled people. Every artist in this country has a similar problem, and you are saying that, but government is trying its best through agencies like the National Arts Council and the National Lottery for them to try to alleviate some of the challenges that we are experiencing. So people should apply for funding from these institutions.
Okay, we are out of time. Zain, very briefly, this recent Creative Arts Summit hosted by Gauteng, were there any resolutions taken?
I haven't seen the resolutions, but I'm sure there would be, and we would then communicate it to everyone. But what I'd like to say is that in the arts field or any disabled person, you need to mainstream yourself. You need to get out there. You know, if opportunities are open and they call you and you sit in that colloquium or you sit in that arena and you keep in quiet, you're not going to be featured. You need to be vocal. You need to be in front. You need to have your rights sorted out, and you must emphasize that this is what you can do and this is how you can do it. So just listening to the gentleman talking, they produce a few of his music. Obviously, you have to plow in money again to reprint or reproduce that music so that you can go out and sell it. So if they've given you 10 copies, you make your money, you generate your money again, and you've got to become an SME. You don't just sit and become a disabled person, and now we are begging for things. So we need to move a step.
We are completely out of time. I think it will only make sense to leave one number so that it doesn't confuse people. Zain, how do they reach you?
Okay, my number is 011-355-6151.
011-355-6151. 6151. Gentlemen, let me thank you very much. We are back again on Thursday, is that it? Oh, no, the last Thursday of the month.
The last Thursday of next month.
Indeed. We appreciate your time there, Mr. Sol Mulubi, as well as Zain Bulbulia. We have learned so much and we'll continue with this project of national importance.
Thank you so much.
Okay, there you have it, guys. My story is told today. It's been your Thursday edition of Power Perspective. Big thanks to producer Ntobong. Motsavi Ntobong, how do I say the other way around? Motsavi Ntobong. I don't want to mention the other name. I'll leave it for us. And of course, Sbura. Sbu Malope. And Nomusa Zwani, who's been, taking care of business. Kimrio Sanyan Wabudikhochi, your ultimate Knox man. It's been real. Nomusa Zwani standing by with the news. It's exactly midnight.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.